Okay. That was the reading. I'm looking up some now. Well, it's time for the message, as the order of the service says it. And if I have a message this morning, I would say read the book of Job, but also pay attention to parts of the Bible that are different. This is the I think the fourth time that I speak from the book of Job this year. And Jessica read something of chapter four. The second time that we look to that, and maybe you wonder, are we ever going to find the end in this way? Well, maybe not. But the book of Job can only be appreciated when we read it ourselves. And it required a lot of patience to do that. The verses read this morning are very important for the book of Job. And I want to unpick that a bit this morning so that we can appreciate the book a bit more, because the themes that Eliphaz touches on in these verses are very central to the book of Job. The Hebrew of the book of Job is probably one of the most difficult Hebrew in the Old Testament. And when you have read from a different translation, you may have noticed that some details are different. The NIV has that can mortals be more righteous than God? The New Revised Standard Version has can mortals be righteous before God? And it may sound different, but the idea is the same. Imagine that you are standing before a judge and you have a conflict with the judge, either the judge or you are right. Be right before the judge, be righteous before that judge, implies that when you are right, you are also more righteous than the judge. So they are flip sides of the same coin. And the theme of being righteous before God or not is very central. I would like to remind you what the book of Job is about. Yeah, I think the more and more I read that book of Job, it's not just or only, or maybe not at all, about suffering. It's more how to worship God, how to address God, how to pray to God. And we have read about that conversation in heaven. The question, is Job really a righteous man for nothing? Or is the blessing and the richness he has received cause for his justice, for his righteousness? What will happen when he loses everything? And this is a central question. And of course, it's always a question that comes back to me also. What happens in my relationship with God when I meet all kinds of adversity in my life, when there is suffering, when there is basically no reason to believe in God? What happens with us? Is there then still something in us that says, and still I continue? We have also mentioned Job's wife. I would like to honor her another time this sermon, because she's the only woman mentioned. And at the end of chapter 2, in verse 9, she says to Job, "Are you still insisting? Are you still maintaining your integrity?" And says, "Well, bless or curse cards, and die. She sees that the current situation, the current position taken by Job, cannot be maintained in this way. And to explain what is happening here, I would like to use as an example something that was happening in the news last week. In Hong Kong, the boss of the Daily Apple newspaper, Jimmy Lai, was arrested. Well, the Chinese government, as you probably know, has introduced a security law, which means they can basically agree everyone who they want. Well, Jimmy Lai was arrested and put before a judge, and he has a choice. He can go two ways. He can say, well, I am innocent and righteous, and what you do as government, that is not just, that is not right. Or he can say, well, okay, you are the government, I respect that. I admit that I was wrong and I go my own way. Of course, the Chinese government hopes for the second. They hope fear will convince everyone to give in. But Jimmy Lai, he stood his ground, and in that way he maintained his integrity. And I would not like to compare the Chinese government to God, they're totally different. But the situation Job is in is similar. He is suffering. And as we have seen the previous time, in the mind of his friends, suffering somehow relates to not being 100% righteous. They say, well, somehow suffering is always something you have earned. And Job does not believe that. And he also faces that choice. Do I give in? Which means that I will keep the support of my friends, or will I stand my ground? Which means I hold on to my integrity, which implies that I need to rebel against God. That's the situation Job is in. And I think those words of Job's wife already indicate this is a very complex situation. Which is why there are 40 chapters of dialogue to look at this matter from every side, every angle. Of course, in the Bible, that God is righteous, that he's just, is very important. It's very central. And we see also that at other places, in the Psalms, but also at the end of Isaiah, there is a prayer that's similar, that believers go to God and say, well, God, what's happening here? We don't feel that this is just and this is righteous. But at other times, other places in the Bible, we are reminded that the position of a man before God is very different. That man standing before God is always guilty. Because, as we all know, no one is perfect. So, when we look carefully, we all know we have our faults. That implies we all are in some way guilty people. Now, in what we have read this morning, I would recommend to read the whole chapter, but also chapter 5. We read about Eliphaz after having reminded Job about the tradition, about traditional wisdom, about, there is something in that. Well, Job, you are not perfect. No one is. Admit that. And because we are not perfect, suffering is part of life. But there is always reason to trust God. That's the difference between someone who is righteous and someone who is wicked or godless. The righteous trust in God, the wicked, they don't. And also, a wise person knows this. A fool ignores it and just goes his own way and loses himself in his anger. Angry is not to be recommended. After that, in verse 12 and further, he speaks about, well, something like a vision or a dream. He's very careful in his words. He's not really being explicit. But in the night, he had something of a vision or a dream. And a spirit appears to him. And I must say, when I read that again in preparation for this morning, I felt the hair standing up. That is what Eliphaz tries to communicate. This is a vision of a spirit, a supernatural experience. And it's quite intimidating. It is a kind of, that's close to a nightmare, you could say. And of course, that fits what Eliphaz hears. Because what he hears, that's his claim, is not just something that is traditional wisdom, but somehow he heard that from a voice of heaven or something like that. And in the way he tells the story, he tries to convey that the divine, to make it more general and to make a specific card, is so much greater than we can ever imagine. And that also are the words that spirit, that form that was before his eyes, it's all pretty vague. It means it is beyond our comprehension. And he asked that question, can a mortal be more righteous than God? Can a human being be more pure than his maker? And then he speaks about the serfs of God and of the angels, even there, those heavenly beings that we think of as very pure and without sin, even in them, he can find faults. How much more than those who live in houses of clay or whose foundation is in the dust. And there he refers to human beings, who are, according to the Bible, made of clay and made of the dust of the earth. If even those pure heavenly beings are not without fault, Eliphaz says to Job, how can you, Job, ever imagine that you can be righteous before God? That you can find ground to speak to God and to complain? Should you not be humble before God? And should you not put your trust in God? Because that is what the wise do. Life is short, and we all die. The wise know this, and they know there is no time for anger and no time for rebellion. That is what Eliphaz is telling Job here. And those words are in the context of the whole book very important. Because as I have tried to explain, that is where Job is standing. What should he do? The traditional wisdom says, well, Job, no one is perfect, you are not perfect, give in. But in the eyes of Job, that means that he gives up his integrity. Basically, that he lies. And is lying about his righteousness compatible with honoring God, that the conflict that he is in. And the whole question with the book of Job begins, comes back to God himself. Because there's only a crown for Job when somehow justice and righteousness is to be found with God. If there's no justice or righteousness with God to be found, Job is lost. Yeah. To go back to that example, Jimmy Lai in Hong Kong, he doesn't stand a chance because I think he doesn't expect any justice from the Chinese government. To use another example, in the Netherlands, and no government is perfect, we had the childcare benefits affair, where people were accused to have committed fraud when they received benefits from the government that they were not entitled to. And they were treated like criminals. And they were angry about that. In the end, well, there is still enough sense of what is just and righteous in the Chinese government to admit that they were wrong. That is the tension that is in the book of Job. And that is how it continues also. Because Job goes to God. Yeah. In the chapter 5, Eliphaz advises Job to speak to God and to go to God. And for Eliphaz, that means, well, Job, be humble and trust God. God knows what is right. And when you do that, and when you admit that you are not perfect, God is a God of compassion. And blessing will return to you. That is the direction that Eliphaz advises Job to take. Well, in the following dialogues, Job goes to God and he speaks to God, but he does not admit any faults. He realizes that God is way more powerful than he is. And when it comes to power, he doesn't stand a chance. But that's the strange thing with Job in the book of Job. Job realizes that when God is going to speak, he will lose. And still, he believes that God will vindicate him. That's an important word in the book of Job. On the one hand, there is the realization with Job, well, I'm in it over my head. When it comes to wisdom, when it comes to knowledge, when it comes to power, God is way beyond me. But I still trust him. And there's that thing about God in the Bible, because he believes that with God, justice is found. And he doesn't know how it will be found. Because what God do is right. Yeah, there's his friends don't see a way out. Yeah, it's either God or Job who is wrong. And in their mind, God cannot be wrong. So Job has to be. And that is deeply ingrained in how they think. Job is forced, because he's an honest man, to find a different way. So he speaks to God, because he also believes that God will defend him, because his friends believes that with the direction he takes, by not humbling himself, that he goes the direction of a fool and a godless. So he's not a good man. Job believes that when God speaks, well, he will lose, to use that metaphor, the lawsuit, but he will be vindicated. And that is the strange contradiction in the book of Job. And when we come to the end, that stands. Well, sometimes, as believers, we say that when we are standing before God, yeah, at the end of time, after death, or something like that, we all have our questions. And we can then ask those questions to God, and we expect an explanation. Because somehow we believe that there is an explanation for everything. I must say, I sometimes wonder about that. Because I think, also in the book of Job, it's ultimately not about knowledge. It's ultimately about trust. I don't know if we can ever understand God completely. Because God is so much greater than we can imagine. And for me as a theologian, it's always cool to remind myself that God is ever greater. Deus semper maius est in Latin. Yeah, that means it's all. That means God is always more, always greater than we can ever imagine. Will there ever be a time that I, standing before God as a human being, understanding the incomprehensible mind of God? I don't know. But there's a different kind of knowledge. That's knowledge that we have in relationships. The knowledge that we know someone and that we are known. And I think also when we are confronted with suffering, knowing the answer is ultimately not what matters. I think what ultimately matters in relationship to God, can God be trusted? Is he ultimately a good God, a righteous God, a loving and compassionate God that I can go to with all my anger and questions, and troubles, and suffering, and know, yeah, he will come through for me. Job's friends believe that the first thing Job has to do is admit that he is an imperfect, small human being. Job knows that. But he doesn't believe that that's the right direction. Because he has to admit than to the lie that sins he has committed are the cause of his suffering. When we as human beings are wrestling with suffering and with guilt, and we are confronted with someone powerful, more powerful than we are, someone who we are dependent on, it's often difficult not to see ourselves as the guilty party. That's, for example, in situations of abuse where someone in authority abuses a child. The child will often think of himself or herself as the guilty party, because that is kind of the easy way out. And the surroundings that know that person in authority and thinks of that person as a good person will affirm that. That is the situation Job is in. He is standing before God as the one in authority that his friends know is a good God. But Job is angry with God. And it takes a long time for God to answer. And Job has a lot of angry words to say against God. But when I read the book of Job, that's the expectation somehow also with Job himself. He believes that God will come through. That ultimately God will be on his side. Well, when you go to the end of the book of Job in chapter 42, verse 7 and following, we see that's exactly what God has done. God speaking to Eliphaz and his friends and saying, "You have not spoken what is right about me." And scholars wrestle with those words because they find it very difficult to believe that Job has spoken what is right. So they try to limit the word of Job. Well, some word of Job was right, or his heart was in the right place. Yeah, I wonder about that. To me, it seems that God, in a way, admits, said Job, in a way, you are right. And yeah, I'm God. I'm way greater than you can understand. Yeah, in chapter 38 and 39 and 40, even 41, God is asking all those questions to make the point. Job, this is beyond you. You can't understand this. But God never says, "Job, the cause that you are suffering is because you are a sinner and because you are imperfect." What God is saying, well, it is so complicated that it's difficult to understand for you. But in everything, I am God. And Job admits that. And then God is saying to Eliphaz, well, what you did was not right. And it's full of contradiction there. But I think ultimately the question when it comes to God is, can we trust him to come through for us? I think the book of Job tells us that being a believer is not for the faint-hearted. It requires courage. In the words of Eliphaz in chapter 4 that we have read, we are reminded that God is not something we can control. Yeah, in the modern Western society, we often think of God, well, God must be reasonable. And we don't understand people who don't think that way about God. We think we can adjust God to what we are comfortable with. So we emphasize that God is love and that we should love each other. And those are very important themes in the Bible. But in the Bible, there is also a place for courage, especially when life is difficult, to speak out to God. And the book of Job is not an easy book to read. I have spent many years studying the book of Job, and sometimes it was very uncomfortable. It has helped me to understand people better who go through difficult times. But still, I know people who can't read the book of Job because it comes too close. And sometimes we have those questions of where is God? In a way, the answer is beyond what we can understand, but when you take the whole Bible and include the gospel, we can still say something about it because God has said something about it. We can ask ourselves, well, why doesn't God do something about that innocent suffering? We have just celebrated Good Friday and Easter. And that's the most important feast of the Christian calendar, of the church calendar. Because at the cross, we are reminded that God has done something. He has not keep standing far away, but he has entered the human situation. You know, the cross, therefore, is always connected with where God is. And of course, God's in heaven, in control of everything. But the cross tells us that maybe even more important, that God has come down in our misery, in our struggles. And you can even say that God speaks to God for us. That's the way Job 16 has often been understood. And I think in the light of the whole Bible correctly. When we struggle, when we have our questions, when people around us say, well, it's your own fault, we have someone next to us. That someone is not, is on the one hand, yeah, in Jesus, a human being who understands us, but who also, yeah, to quote Hebrews, as a high priest can speak for us to God. But he also speaks to a God that is there beside us. It's full of paradox. Yeah, we have sung that song about Christ being the lion and the lamb. Yeah, it's full of contradiction. And the book of Job is full of contradiction. And a summary of the book will never do it justice. A summary of the Bible will never do the Bible justice. The Bible is a book full of different ways to speak about God. And ultimately, where do we find comfort? We find comfort at the cross. And the resurrection reminds us that the cross indeed was the place where God is. And the main theme of the Bible, in spite of the book of Job, is still that God's a loving and compassionate and patient God. Um, we don't have to defend God at all cost. We can be honest in what we go through. And we know that we as human beings are not perfect. And that suffering can be earned. And that life is complex. But there's also a place to stand, in a way, against God. Still with God. Eliphaz doesn't want to go that far with Job. His message to Job is, Job, admit that you are a sinner. In chapter 15, the words we have read, he repeats them. And he makes them harsher than here. In chapter 22, the last time Eliphaz speaks, he lists the sins Job has done. As a reader, we know that those accusations are lies. In chapter 26, the last time the friends speak, there Bildad repeats similar words as we have read this morning. Throughout the dialogues, that is where Job's friends are standing. And in the end, they are not on the side of God, even when God does everything. And that is basically what the gospel teaches us. When Jesus is at the cross, he's also king. And we can, often kings are with the powerful and the mighty, and those in control, they have many social relationships in common with those people. And they are far away from those at the bottom of society. Those who suffer, who struggle. Jesus is not that kind of a king. That makes him different. That's why I can deal with the book of Job. That's why I find the strength to read it as honestly as I can. And that's why I think there's room for speaking out against God. That's why I continue to speak about the book of Job, because on the one hand, it teaches me that God is so much greater than I can ever imagine. When it comes to wisdom, when it comes to knowledge, when it comes to power, I don't stand a chance. But when it comes to righteousness, when it comes to love, when it comes to compassion, God is there. That is why I advise also everyone to take that patience to read the book of Job, but only if you can stand it. Because if you don't, if you aren't certain about God, it becomes more difficult. But I hope then that each of us can grow in that way, that we can use, next week communion, but also, the cross, the stories that tells us about God's compassion and greatness, to build an image and a relationship with God that can handle difficult times. Because there needs to be something. Somehow, Job is far from a perfect person. But he does not suffer because he is a sinner. He suffers because, in a way, he's tested. And I don't know where he gets that, but throughout the book of Job, we see that Job is developing. He's keeping that open mind. I need living with the tension. And this is maybe the message also for this morning, that being a believer is being willing to live with tensions. Tensions that ultimately finds find closure, maybe that is the word that God speaks. As God has spoken nowhere more clearly than in Jesus Christ. That's what I would like to share with you this morning. Thank you. Let us pray for a moment. Dear God, you are a loving and compassionate God. After reading something from the book of Job, it's good to remind ourselves of that. Help us with our struggles in our life. And in this time of pandemic, it's maybe even more than normally. Help us to go to you, even if we don't understand. We don't have to know the answers before we can go to you. And thank you that you are a God who has come down to us, that we have a high priest, that who has gone through struggles and suffering as we have been and we are. And that high priest Jesus Christ pleads for us with you as the great God. Go with us. Whether we are going to read the book of Job or not, give us courage to trust you and to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.